more choice with Starbucks rewards. Now that's grounds for celebration. Collect 10 stars for every £1 spent. Earn just 130 stars for a signature Americano on us. Or 300 for a bite to eat from our selection of bakery favourites. Save up and you can even score merchandise. More choices, faster rewards. Want in? Download the Starbucks UK app today. Subject to availability, participating stores only, 18 plus. Full terms and conditions at starbucks.co.uk/rewards.
What makes a good bet? At Virgin Bet, we think it's a simple bet, a responsible bet, a last-minute winner when you're down to 10 men kind of bet, with generous offers. A bet that puts sport first. Sound like your kind of bet? Then you're ready to get started. Sign up and get £20 in free bets when you bet £10 on sports. Virgin Bet, a good bet. New members. Min bet settled in first 14 days. 1.5 minimum odds. Free bets valid 7 days on sports. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Bet responsibly. 18 plus. Gamblerware.org.
No, I think they'll go hard. I don't think it'll be like an Olympics type hard where you really are hitting and checking and you're going 100%. I do think there is going to be a sense of like, let's not hurt anybody. But I do think you'll be going hard. Nobody wants to be embarrassed, you know, especially when you throw on your international sweater. I think guys will go hard. Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. We're back, Tim. February 2nd. I feel better. I was on death's doorstep all last week. It was just amazing how we just got hit, but I'm back. I'm feeling good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think you might still be a little banged in the head because it's February 11th, not February 2nd.
February 2nd?
Yeah, we're doing good. Moved in more or less, like still looking up, finding little things and putting the furniture and hanging art and all that, but we're in good shape over here.
Do you know how many relationships that Julia's been in before you?
A number? No.
Like serious?
A few. Yeah.
Do you ever see that movie where the guy moves in and she has just like all this stuff that guys have given her? Or maybe it's like How I Met Your Mother. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was like a big issue.
No.
Do you feel like she has a lot of gifts from old boyfriends?
Not that I can see. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't. There's not labels on them.
Right. Yeah.
Tech still. I don't know.
You should ask. There's some jewelry in there that someone gave to her, right?
Isn't that interesting?
Not really.
Like her favorite necklace could be from like some guy, and every time she wears it, she just thinks about him. I think about that with my wife still. I'm like, where'd you get that?
Yeah, but you guys been dating since you were practically teenagers.
No, we started dating at the end of college. So there was a good, she had a very serious boyfriend before she met me. Football player. Seemed like a real, real class act. Speaking of that, I gave my wife a test, Tim, this weekend. And unfortunately, it was an epic fail. Absolute F, if I were to grade it. I was so upset and discouraged. And I'll give you the backstory. About 3 or 4 years ago, one of my good friends, Neil, he invited me over to watch the Super Bowl because I don't have a TV. It's a lifestyle choice and not a lot of people get it, but I don't. I watch all my hockey games on ESPN Plus on my phone or on the computer. So I wanted to watch the Super Bowl. He was nice enough to invite me to his house. We go to the same church. We invited our priest, Father Libby. He came over. It was a good time. That was like 4 years ago. Well, lo and behold, it's become this little tradition of myself and my priest going over to my friend's house to watch the Super Bowl. My wife went one time. Once. So the Super Bowl came around this weekend. And unfortunately, we have some sick kids in the house, like I've talked about. I am getting ready to go to the game. Like, I am actively mentally there. I didn't eat breakfast. I was ready. My friend always makes chicken wings. Just a whole, like, Sam's Club, just buffet of everything. And I look forward to it. So I'm ready to go. And my wife goes, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? We can't both go. And in my head, I go, yeah, no kidding. Like, this is, what are we talking about? And she goes, well, should I get a babysitter to come over? I'm like, good luck finding finding a babysitter last minute for us to go. It's like ETA is an hour. We're like, I'm already there mentally. And so this is my test. I go, you know what? I really want to watch this game, but you should go if you want to go. And I'll stay home and watch the sick kids and the younger kids. And Tim, she didn't even hesitate. She goes, sounds good. And then walked away. And I almost said something verbally, like, what the hell is going on? But I just, like, I just was in shock and I let her have it because I had been sick. And I'm like, maybe she needs to get out. And she went and she left me at home with the sick kids and the little kids. And she took the older girls and the baby and they went to my friend's house and enjoyed my party that I was invited to, that she wasn't invited to. And I was so mad. I don't know if I should be sharing this here and with everybody and all the listeners, but put yourself in my shoes, everybody. And let me know in the comments or send me a letter. Am I okay to be mad at this point? And then to put the cherry on top, they get home and I go, who won the game? Oh, well, we didn't watch it. We were playing and talking and stuff. And my blood's boiling. And I had something in my hand. And I threw it across the room and I just walked away. It's just like, you know, Key and Peele, when he's the teacher and the kids are messing, when he like clears the desk, you go, son of a, well, I just threw my pen. It was like that, where I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I just walked away. Like, you didn't even watch the game. And so it's just, I would, if I were a teacher like Key and Peele, it would be an F, an absolute F for my wife. So that's the weekend that I had.
So that's all frustrating and terrible. But the part that I think is kind of the worst that you sort of glossed over was the food. You didn't eat all day. You're anticipating this. This is something you look forward to.
Yeah.
What did you have for dinner? Did you just have a bowl of cereal and just sit and steep?
Well, I had to watch the other kids. And so I was dealing with sick kids and this and that. And this is the thing that really did put the cherry on the top of everything. There was no food to make everybody. So I'm just scrambling to cobble together a dinner. So I think we did just a potpourri of whatever. Like the sick kid got like chicken broth. The younger kids, I just threw together some leftovers. It was just a disaster. And I was so upset. I gave myself a little bit of a break. I put a movie on for them. I bought them, which is tough for me to do, Inside Out 2. I just bought it for him. I said, watch this movie. Dad needs a sec. And that kind of gave me an hour or two to get things pulled together. But yeah, it was just, and then she gets the van stuck in the driveway twice. And it's just like, how are we getting stuck? It's just insane. The driveway's perfectly plowed. And now I'm nitpicking. So I'm just being petty. I'm just talking about random stuff. I'm out there shoveling out this damn van because I'm sure she loses her phone. So now I got to buy her phone. Oh, Tim. It's been a week. So that's why I'm looking forward to what's around the corner for hockey. The NHL has taken a pause, Tim, and it is time for international play. It's very exciting. It's very rare we get best on best in hockey, right? So it's a beautiful thing when it does happen. And just doing my research, Connor McDavid has not played an international hockey game since the World Junior Championships. This has been just one of the greatest travesties to hockey fans, is not being able to see this guy throw the leaf over his neck and represent Canada in an international game. So he is going to be putting on the leaf. You got an amazing American team. I guess the only one bad part is whoever made these teams in the tournament and the four nations, they should have expanded it. I really like the World Cup of Hockey or whatever they did a couple years back when they had the youngsters team, they had Team Europe. It allowed other players to be involved in this tournament because you're missing out on some high-end talent. Like some really, really, really massive superstars. And then Team Russia. I don't care about geopolitics. I think Team Russia should be there. I think they add a lot. Everybody loves playing Team Russia. Immense amount of talent, top to bottom for that roster. And I think it's a huge miss to not include them in this just because of Putin and invasion and all that crap. I don't care. I don't care about that. I want to see the best hockey players. And I'm upset that they're not a part of this tournament. You could have easily included 2 to 4 more teams to round it out. Do a round robin, make it a tournament. All that aside, we're focusing on the positive. We have 4 teams at this tournament. And we're going to break it down. I know we're a little late to the party. I don't care. We're going to do it because the NHL is paused now, right, Tim?
I don't even think we're late because the tournament hasn't started yet. It starts later this week. So I think we'll do like a quick look at each of the four teams' rosters and just call out a couple of things that are worth keeping an eye on or questions we have or just things that, you know, some of the stuff is sort of controversial. So let's start with Team USA. And I think this is kind of everyone's favorite pick for the best team. When you look top to bottom, they have four outstanding lines of forwards. They have arguably the top six best defensemen right now, or the best starting six, I should say, and then definitely the best three goalies. So a couple of things worth pointing out. You look at their first power play, and this is loaded. And this is kind of one of the things that every analyst and writer and everything and fan, I would say, is looking at as these rosters come together because they're practicing every day right now. They're all in Boston. They're working on their stuff. And the lines are still subject to change, but USA had a power play practice this morning. Here's their first unit. You got Fox on the blue line, Matthews, Jack Hughes, and Eichel. And then you have Matthew Tkachuk with a net front presence. Your Team USA is loaded. There's always going to be guys.
I don't think that's like incredible.
Why not?
Well, it's not as incredible as other countries. I think when we get to Canada's power play unit, that's when you shake your head and you go, wow, like that's absolutely incredible. When you look at the, and don't get me wrong, it's very, very strong. Like this is lights out power play. I think it's dynamite. But I think we're emphasizing it a little too much. When you look at Canada's first power play unit, like you cannot compare the two with McDavid, McKinnon, Makar, Crosby, Tim, and then you throw Reinhardt in there, 50 goal scorer from last year.
John, so I was like halfway through my first sentence about the power play. I don't know who's emphasizing.
You were emphasizing it a lot. Let's just relax.
Whatever.
Maybe I'm still thinking about my Super Bowl. Let's put a poll on this episode. Am I the a-hole for the Super Bowl thing? Because I'm just like, I should have went and watched the game, right?
Should have went. By the way, I watched that game, loved every second of it. I hate the Eagles, but I hate the Chiefs even more. And now all the comparables of Mahomes to Brady and Kelsey to Gronk.
That's your end game.
Reed to Belichick, it's all gone. They're not in the same sentence anymore. They've proven that. So that made me very happy.
But the Patriots lost too, though.
Yeah, but this would have been like the first team to win three in a row, right? And so you could have said certain things. But by the end of the day, Mahomes, Brady never had that poor of a game. Brady beat Mahomes twice. So this is great.
Gosh, anyway, when I checked the box score at halftime, I think they had 80 yards total, the Chiefs. Yeah. It was a shellacking. Like it really wasn't even close. I was almost happy that it wasn't that close. But I was very happy the Eagles won because the Bills, man, they just get screwed over every single year. Cheaters. All right, moving on. The USA team. We talked about their incredible power play. Some say the best that's ever been assembled. Right, Tim?
Whatever, man. One big noticeable missing, which I think would have been on the power play one, is Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. He had to drop up because of injury. He was dropped, replaced last week with Jake Sanderson. It was supposedly, not surprisingly, a pretty tough decision for him, not just because of playing for Team USA and wanting to be in this tournament, but also playing with his brother, Jack. He badly wanted to be there, but he just knows that he's where's the C. He wants to be healthy and resting and be ready for the Canucks playoff run, which is the right decision, but not an easy one. And you want to see him and Jack together. You want to see Brady and Matthew together. And so it's kind of disappointing. But speaking of, you know, the Tkachuk brothers, right now they have not practiced yet on the same line. Does that seem like an obvious thing to you? Like, why wouldn't they be on the same line? This doesn't count for anything. Like, why wouldn't you want to see those two together?
Well, I think they do the same thing. They're very similar type players. They're power forwards. They go to the net. They're energetic. They're very similar. So when you balance out the lines, you don't need two guys that do the same thing. So when you look at the lineup makeup of the USA team, Tkachuk, you know, grinder, go to the net, dig out pucks, that sort of player. He's with Eichel, who's a facilitator, a goal scorer, then Kyle Connor, who is an absolute sniper. Like, those guys complement each other to the nth degree. And then you got Brady Tkachuk with JT Miller, who does a little bit of everything, and then Matt Boldy, who is a sniper. So you got to balance it out. But it would be fun to have the Tkachuk brothers together. But I think the coach did the right thing by balancing it out. The U.S. lineup, team, it's absolutely loaded, top to bottom. I think. As it stands today, I'm not going to give away my picks, but they're a dangerous team. The Quinn Hughes elimination subtraction is big for them, though. He would be dynamic in this format when there's not going to be any hitting at all. He would have a huge, huge impact on this tournament.
He would, but I still think they probably have the best defense. So the pairings now are Slavin and Fox, Werenski and McAvoy, Hanifin and Faber, with Sanderson likely being the last man in. Who knows who it would have been if Hughes was still in there. But yeah, this is still a loaded defense. You still have the puck moving guys. You have the do it all in the McAvoy. You have the shutdown in Slavin. Werenski, I think, would probably be my pick for the Norris this year over Quinn Hughes. He's just been outstanding all season long. So this looks really good. And then whoever they go with net is going to be lights out, but it's of course going to be Hellebuck unless he loses it. So this is interesting. And this is the one thing I wanted to mention about this team before we move on to Canada. And I haven't seen anyone talk about this, but you have 13 forwards on the roster, including Kreider, who's going to be the rotating man as of now. I don't know if this will matter. You can tell me it doesn't, but they have 11 left-handed shots and only two right-handed shots. And those guys are Eichel and Trocheck. Someone can fact check me there, but that's what I'm looking at. Do you think that matters? Is that going to impact anything?
Yeah, I think it matters on the special teams when you're trying to set up certain plays, one timers, this and that. But for the most part, no. These guys are pros. Like, it matters in the faceoff dot a little as well when you're trying to win draws back, you know, strong side, weak side. But all of these guys are used to playing all over the ice. And when you have this amount of talent, do you think it matters catching a pass in your backhand? Nah. Not so much. These guys will adjust. They're pros, but it would be nice. Like I said, it's just like on the back end to go left, right. It's easier to go D to D up the ice. You don't have to turn across your body to make that outlet pass. And the same goes for wingers. But some wingers prefer playing on their off wing. It's better coming down the wing. You can get a better shooting angle outside, inside. You're closer to the middle of the ice. So, no. I don't think it's a huge deal, though, Tim.
Okay. All right, let's get into Team Canada then. This is obviously the one. We spent a little time talking about this when the roster was announced maybe 2 weeks ago. A lot of emphasis right now placed on their depth because you know you have maybe the five best players in the world, certainly up there, McDavid, Crosby, MacKinnon, Makar, and then some of the other players out there. Marner is elite. Reinhardt's elite. And they're balancing out the lines, but this bottom six is going to be very difficult to play against. Right now, it's scoped to be Jarvis, Point, and Marchand, then Hagel, Cirelli, and Bennett. Those are sandpaper guys. Those are in-your-face guys. They're very, very frustrating. They're very, very annoying, but they also have some great skill and can score. So I think you're going to see those lines, you know, matched up and shutting down other teams' top lines and create really good matchups for Team Canada.
Yeah, this is a fun roster just because of the high-end talent that you can put around people. I think everybody wanted to see McDavid and MacKinnon. But I feel like they're very similar type players where they get the puck and they lug it through the neutral zone and they control the play. You can't put those two together. But I do think we'll see some line juggling throughout this tournament just because there are so many options. I was surprised to see your boy Marchand not with Crosby. They've played so well together internationally, and they have that connection together being from Nova Scotia. So that was a little bit of a shocker. And to have Mark Stone there, I think he will be a more defensive tight posture on that line with Crosby and MacKinnon just kind of giving free rein to go up and down the ice. But I don't know, even a Seth Jarvis who can keep up with them in the speed department, I don't know if I like these lines. I love the first line. I think that'll be incredibly fun with McDavid, Marner, and Reinhardt. Reinhardt is just such a sleeper. He really is. Nobody gives him his due. He's a high-end draft pick. He's scored a ton of goals in this league. And all of a sudden, you look at his stats, and he's like, damn, this kid's been good. But he was languishing in Buffalo for years and years, and now he's on the first step in line in Canada. So it's neat to see his progression into the international stage. But I think I don't know if I love the depth on Canada. I know we've talked about this. We'll see how it pans out. Their fourth line is just very, it screams seven game line where they wear you down and they get it on the forecheck and they get, you know, after the whistle, they're in your face and it just, they make it hard for a long series with a one and done type scenario that we're playing now. I don't think this is an effective line. I think there are better options that are higher offensive output, and I just don't like it. I
think the thing that works in their favor, because yes, I agree, they're built for a seven game series, but each of these guys is also a big game player. Like Sam Bennett is a big game player. Yeah. Those Lightning guys are big. Hagel, Cirelli. I would even say Jarvis. He hasn't played a ton of big games, but he has the mindset of a big game player, the way that we talk to him. So maybe that'll make up for the fact that, you know, they're maybe not as quick or as skilled as some other lines they'll be playing against. But back to Reinhardt real quick, because I think this is really interesting. You have the obvious four best players on this roster. It's Crosby, McDavid, MacKinnon, and Makar, and you want them all in the same power play unit. You have a couple of guys who are like eyeing, oh, who's going to be in that fifth spot? Who's going to? And you know Mitch Marner wanted that badly. Oh, maybe even assumed he was going to get it, right? So he's thinking, okay, if I can play with these guys, it's going to be great. He gets passed over for Sam Reinhardt. And I would even think a point, although Point was probably told and maybe even expected that he's going to be like the center man and the power play quarterback of the second power play unit, but maybe a Marchand or a Hagel or Jarvis. So I think whoever that guy was going to be is going to be disappointed if he didn't get it. Reinhart gets it. He absolutely deserves it. He's an elite goal scorer in the world right now. But don't you think Marner's maybe going to be a little salty about that?
More choice with Starbucks Rewards. Now that's grounds for celebration. Collect 10 stars for every £1 spent. Earn just 130 stars for a signature Americano on us. Or 300 for a bite to eat from our selection of bakery favorites. Save up and you can even score merchandise. More choices, faster rewards. Want in? Download the Starbucks UK app today. Subject to availability, participating stores only, 18 plus. Full terms and conditions at starbucks.co.uk/rewards.
Whether you're screaming from the stands or the sofa, Virgin Bet has even more for you to shout about this season, because we're giving you a totally free bet builder on a selected football match every week this season. So get ready to make some noise. Join us and claim your bet builder free bet every week. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Use Bet Builder free bet on selected match by kickoff. Min odds evens. Max one free bet, £1 to £20. Except via pop-up. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Bet responsibly. Gamblerware.org.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Well, Marner plays the point on the Toronto power play sometimes. He's a facilitator. Like, he really doesn't have a spot. When you're trying to, like, fill needs on a power play, he doesn't fit in. Because on this power play one for Canada, who's the guy who controls the puck the majority of the time? Is it Crosby? Is it Makar up top? Is it McDavid? I'm assuming McDavid will be on the flank and he'll cut into the middle like he does in the Oilers power play. Who is it? Because I know Reinhart will most likely be net front and then kind of slide off weak side when the puck's on the flank. We were talking about the American power play. This is a ridiculous power play. Like, yeah. This is an abundance of wealth. But I'm telling you right now, Tim, sometimes this doesn't work because everybody wants to seed the shot. Everybody wants to pass it off. Everybody wants to be the nice guy and not take the shot. Sometimes these superstar power plays don't work. And I just have a feeling there is going to be a huge feeling out process on this power play where all you want, if you're John Cooper, is to just say, shoot the puck. Like, just go take that first shot. Be selfish. Take it. I don't think any of these guys will take that shot. Unless Crosby steps up and he's like, come on, guys. Like, someone needs to shoot.
I think McKinnon might be that guy. But yeah, that could totally be a thing. And we've seen that with power plays before where you mm-hmm. add like a superstar at the deadline, whether it's a Gensel or a Hurdle. And you kind of think, okay, now we have a top five power play. We're adding an elite player to it.
Yeah.
And then it stops working because it throws off the dynamic and the balance and whatever system they were running. And now you've got another factor. You think it would make it better, but it doesn't always happen. Then you have that basically times five. So yeah, I don't doubt their ability to build chemistry. They know each other. They played together before, but this is a very short time frame and you might run out of time to work it out.
And this is where I feel like the Scandinavian teams have a huge advantage. I just feel like they have that team mentality. They do what's best for the team. They play with each other quite a bit. They're familiar with each other. They go home in the summer. They all skate together. There aren't a lot of Swedish and Finnish guys in the NHL. Sweden, I think, has 60 or 70. Finland, I think, is less than that. And the whole roster is from the NHL. So these guys know each other. They've been around each other. And I feel like that is such a benefit in this quick turnaround where you meet the team, have a couple practices, and you start playing. That's the reason I could see these Scandinavian teams performing better than the North American teams, just because they have that team mentality. They're not worried about being selfish. Like, they're going to pull the trigger. If Barkov gets a shot or Laine gets a shot or Aho gets a shot, he's taking it. He's not going to have to worry about, I got to make sure I pass it over to Rantanen, or I got to make sure Olimata or Esa Lindell or these guys get their points. And the mentality is a little different when you go to the Scandinavian countries. I'm more concerned about not making everybody happy, just winning the game at all costs. So speaking of the Scandinavian teams, let's jump in on Finland. I would say everybody's fourth team when you rank them 1, 2, 3, 4. Finland has come in fourth, so they got an uphill climb.
Yeah, so a couple of things worth pointing out about this roster. This does have depth working for it. So you have Barkov, who is, you know, arguably a top 3-5 center in the league. Then you have Aho and Hintz behind him, and then Lundell is a fourth. Like, those are four really good centers. They're going to make up for a lot of the weakness of their wings, which I think is one of the the weaknesses of this team, because you have Rantanen, who's an elite winger, and you have some other guys who can be elite but questionable, like Patrick Laine. Which version of him are you going to get? He's been on a cold streak. He hasn't scored in five games. He's like dash six during that stretch leading up to this tournament. So what version of him are you going to get? I think you probably see a pretty good version, but you just don't know. Perrivine is not elite in any situation. Lakenin, like Capocacco, Granlund, these guys are all good players, but they have a lot of questions. But the center depth is going to make up for that. But you get in the back end, and this is where it doesn't look good for Team Finland. And you, they're good players. They're good defensively. But the loss of Miro Heiskanen, who's going to miss this tournament because of that collision with Stone, is absolutely huge for this roster. Their top line, or top pairing, is Asa Lindell and Olli Maatta. Two good players. They're NHL guys, but nah. Then you have Valimaki and Vakanainen behind them. They're bottom pairing guys on their own teams in the NHL. And then Mikkola and Jokiharju, like, these guys are borderline NHLers. So, yeah, this is going to be where they probably get exposed, unless, you know, and I'm going to save a little time for the end of predictions and what goes well for Team Finland, because I think they do have this kind of unassuming, they get overlooked and they'll lean on the team factor, but it does seem like these guys, at least on paper, are the bottom man, that bottom team in this lineup. Oh, yeah,
they're absolutely the worst. And that's why I question the teams that were invited to this tournament, because you could arguably make a better roster. Not arguably, you could make a better Russian roster. You could maybe make a better Czech or Slovak roster. There are pretty good teams out there you could pull together. But to finish what they always do, they just show up. You know, they always battle and give it their hardest, whether it's World Juniors or the World Championships. They play as a complete team, and they always manage to just hang around. And they're there. And they have the pedigree and the history. So I get why they're there. And the reason that they could steal some games in this tournament is UC Saros. He's an incredible goaltender. He will steal some games like he's been doing in Nashville all year long. Nashville, for whatever reason, can't score. And he's kept them in games, and he's played tremendous, even though Nashville's just been a dumpster fire this year. So he is very, very good. And I think you were spot on with the lines. The centers are great. They need to play out of this world in order to have a chance. But this team, they'll be disciplined. They won't take any penalties. They'll take advantage if they get a power play. It'll be a well-coached team, and we'll see. Maybe they'll have an upset, but I fully expect them to be 0-3, not win any games. Maybe score two goals a game. They're just overmatched.
I think the two players I'm especially looking at are Aho and Hinch, which are, well, when whatever combination you do it, they're going to center the second and third lines. You know what you're going to get from Barkov. I think you kind of know what you have in these other players. Aho and Hinch have the ability to rise and be some of the best players in the world when they're on. So if they turn that on for this tournament, I think that's going to be a huge factor for them. So I'll be paying attention to those two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if they go nuclear. You know, if they get down, just like Edmonton does after their kill a penalty, they just throw out Hyman, Dreisaitl, and McDavid. Like, it's a very hard line. And you notice when they're out there. If Finland gets behind, or if things aren't going their way, if they just go Rantanen and Aho and Barkov, and just throw it out there and see what happens, that'll be interesting. And then maybe, you know, you can just get by the other three lines and let those three guys go at it. But yeah, it's not going to be a good day in Finland after this tournament, I have a feeling. All right, let's move on to Sweden, Tim. Trey Crowner.
This is an interesting one. So I'm just going to read a couple of lines here. The first one, based on their practice lines, is Nylander between Zibanejad and Raquel. Then Kempe between Pettersson between Kempe and Forsberg. Eriksson Ek between Bratt and Lucas Raymond. So right off the bat, Mika Zibanejad is not the best center on this team. He's arguably the fourth or fifth best center on this
team.
Well,
according to you, Mr. Man.
Yeah, and then you look at his projected winger, Ricard Raquel, who deserves to be on this team. But and then you're like, is this even their first line? But if Nylander's on it, you got to think it's their first line. So I think that they're trying to build up Zibanejad where, okay, forget all the noise. You're not playing well. New York's a tough city. You're playing with your countrymen. You're playing with your teammates. Let's give you a chance to shine. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a short leash. And then their defense, I think, is really good. Hedman, Brodin, Ekholm, Carlson, Erik Karlsson, Dahlin, Rasmus Andersson, and Gustav Forsling. And I think Forsling missed a couple of days of injury or sickness. So he's in. Andersson's projected to be the seventh man. But this looks like a great team. And then Linus Ullmark is going to play net. So this is going to be a really good roster.
This is the sleeper pick. If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would put a lot of money on this team because I right now I think they have the third worst odds when you look at the Vegas's gambling, then Canada, the USA, this, and then Finland, this is a good lineup. And it's a balanced lineup. I love their defense. I think their defense is spot on. I love Canada's defense. I like the USA's defense. Like you said, puck movers. This is a good balance of just mooses, like absolute units back there who are super huge and skill. Victor Hedman, he's got Jonas Brodin. He doesn't have to do anything. All Victor Hedman has to do is play defense. And when he is one-dimensional in the nicest possible way, and when he has to focus on just playing defense, the guy's like, he's very, very, very effective. You go to the next pairing. Mattias Ekholm is very familiar playing with high-end talent. That's all he's done. And if you pair him with Erik Karlsson, you could say, go ahead, Karlsson. We got you. I got your safety blanket right here. Then you got Dahlin and Forsling. Forsling's an absolute moose, and Dahlin is incredible. He gets hidden in Buffalo. Number one overall pick. The guy's absolutely incredible. So telling you, this is a very hard out if you're playing Team Sweden. I don't care about the forwards. They'll score goals. It's the defense that is just going to cause fits for these forwards from every other country. It's amazing that a country this small can produce this much talent, especially on the back end. It's incredible. Every other country would be drooling to have those six guys starting for them. Like it's a great balance, a little bit of everything. And they're such a small country. The USA and Canada should be ashamed of ourselves. And we can't. I'm just kidding. It's amazing.
It is. And you mentioned Quinn Hughes, how he's built for this tournament because he can skate and they're not going to hit crazy like they do in the NHL. That's Erik Karlsson for Team Canada. He's older. He's got some miles on him. He still skates like the wind. And if, in a tournament like this, that's not going to be overly physical, which is one of the things we need to talk about, what you can expect from the how they'll play this thing. But I think you can expect him to do very well. And Linus Ullmark is obviously just elite. He'll do very well. So this is a great team. I think they're going to surprise some people too. We'll save our predictions for the end. So let's talk about the tournament as a whole and some of our questions and thoughts leading up to this. It does seem like there's a solid buzz. It's not one of those stadium series or overseas things where like no one knows a day of. Like I think pausing the schedule, they're promoting it more. We're seeing it more on the socials and TV and stuff. And they've done a better job of marketing it. When you look at the rosters, do you see one of these rosters as far and away better or far and away worse than some of the rest?
Well, I think we've established Finland, just talent-wise, is much worse. And this is just on paper. So again, things change once they drop the puck. But I think the U.S. has the overall strongest roster, in my opinion. I think top to bottom on the back end, and where they make up the differences between the pipes.
Yeah.
I think hands down, lights out, Hellebuck is the best goalie in this tournament. Like there's no one that comes close to him. He is playing Vezina Trophy last year. He will win it this year. He sets the difference for this team. Because you can make an argument for Canadian forwards, USA forwards, defense. I think it's all negotiable. The goaltending is where the USA sets themselves apart. But other than that, I think it's a US-Canada top two when you look across the board for all these forwards, defense. It's just a goaltending thing that really sets them apart.
Yeah. Do you like the formatting of a tournament where each team's going to play each other? And
Well, I don't mind that. But it just to end with the one game final, I feel like that is a little anticlimactic. I feel like they could have done a little bit better where you play the round robin, one team gets a bye, two teams play in the championship game, or you draw it out just a little bit. I guess there's a time constraint and you want to get the games done and move on with the NHL regular season. But don't you think you go three games and then only two teams make it onto the final? Am I missing something? Or you could have
done it a little better? I suspect that's either a logistics issue where it's just like, hey, let's keep it as slim as possible. Plus, you don't want to add too many games where you increase the chance of someone getting hurt or you just add wear and tear to the bodies. But I like that, actually, because you think about like it's a game seven, right, where everything's on the line, or the Super Bowl where it's one game compared to the big series, or even those one game play-in games that the MLB does. They're so electric. They're so fun. Even if it's like middle of the pack teams, it's the Royals and Tampa trying to fight for that last playoff spot, but it's such like electric television and sports to watch. So I'm okay with that. I think that works.
Here's my scenario. Team Finland loses its first two games. Do you think they're going to care about the last game when they have zero chance to make the finals and they're just mailing it in? Those guys want to go and party and tear it up before the season starts. It happens with everything else, but maybe they could have done something different where you have a play-in game for the finals. I don't know. but it is a lot, four games to play for these guys. So I get what you're saying.
So based on like what you know about, you know, I don't know, you don't know a ton of these particular guys closely, but like the mindset of an NHL player, how hard do you expect them to go? Because in one sense, they're representing their country. A lot of them haven't done it before or haven't done it in a long time. Like even Crosby hasn't done it in a decade practically.
Yeah.
Like, so do you expect them to go hard, or is it still just sort of a friendly, no one get hurt, all-star game type of vibe where it's just more about showing skills and showcasing their countries?
No, I think they'll go hard. I don't think it'll be like an Olympics type hard where you really are hitting and checking and you're going 100%. I do think there is going to be a sense of like, let's not hurt anybody. But I do think you'll be going hard. Nobody wants to be embarrassed, you know, especially when you throw on your international sweater. I think guys will go hard, but I don't know. Do you think guys are going to be diving in front of one-timers in order to block them? That's the question. How far do you take it to win the game? And I don't know. I guess that will be based on the top guys on the team. Is McDavid going 100%? Is Crosby motivating his guys? Because the third and fourth line, they'll follow suit. So if they see their top guys going, they're going to go too. So that'll be predicated and dictated by the top guys. So you'll know pretty early on how the game's going to go, if they're finishing checks, if they're taking short shifts, those kind of things. So I don't know. I hope they go hard.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the later into the tournament they go, and certainly the championship game, I think will be pretty hard, which kind of ties into the next question, is the risk of injury. Like this, it's always there. It happens at practice. Like anytime these guys step on the ice, is that something you're concerned about? Like what happens if McKinnon or Braden Point or, you know, like one of these guys just gets hurt for the rest of the year and it impacts the NHL implications?
Well, yeah, GMs are sweating bullets, and they have huge insurance policies they put out for these tournaments. That's one of the caveats. And that was one of the reasons they almost didn't go to one Olympics. I can't remember. What was the most recent one? I can't remember, but the insurance implications that the IOC would have to pay were through the roof, and the NHL just said, we're not going unless you pay those, you know, premiums. So they're all fully insured, but do you want your player playing in this tournament? If you're a GM, it's a very tricky thing because it's nice. It does improve them because you're playing with the best on best, but best case scenario, they win a medal. Worst case, you lose them for the rest of the season, and it impacts them for the rest of their career. Like look at Kirby Dach when he broke his wrist playing the World Juniors. It screwed him up for a long time. Like it really did. So it's just kind of a double-edged sword. You want your player to be happy and go play with the best of the best. Then he gets hurt and you look like an idiot for letting your best player go play when he's not playing for your team. So I don't know. Tim, how many people are going to watch this tournament? Really? Like, are you going to be turning it on? Is this going to be a popular outing?
I will watch it. I'll at least have it on, and whatever's going on this weekend, I'll try to keep up with it or keep it on in the background. And certainly if Team USA is going to be, you know, I would say appointment TV. So I'm going to try to catch as many of those games as possible. And it's nice because you have a nice big fat, you know, like break in the calendar for the NHL teams. And there's a lot of discussion about that because there's not technically a trade break. Like trades could still happen during this whole thing. GMs are talking. Some rumors are heating up. We'll talk about at the end. But are there any like players or teams that stand out to you? It's like, okay, these guys are loving this break more than any other teams.
Well, the older teams in the NHL, right? And the main one is Washington Capitals. I think this break is perfect for them. You have an older roster. You've been playing fantastic. You can regroup, get healthy. The last final push for the playoffs. This works right into their wheelhouse. Teams like the LA Kings, who maybe need a little bit of a boost, who are older. You got Drew Doughty. We didn't mention him. He could see his face at the tournament too. He's been practicing in the last pairing. That'd be fun to see him get back into the mix. This works well for him. He's been out for how many months now? He gets some seasoning. He gets used to playing fast-paced hockey. All of a sudden, he's just vaulted back into the NHL, and he looks like he hasn't missed a beat. So those types of teams that are older can use a little rest. It's not good for the younger teams who are playing well, have a lot of things going for them, and all of a sudden you hit pause. The younger players go back home or whatever. They get a little full of themselves. Everybody's patting them on the back saying, hey, you're playing great. This is good. You guys are playing tremendous. They come back, and they just stink. So, no, the Capitals will benefit from this most off. This lines up perfectly for them, 100%.
All right, the last thing, predictions. What are your predictions? Let's do it. Let's say who the two final teams would be and who's going to win that game.
My final two teams are, goodness gracious, in an ideal world, USA, Canada would be the final two teams, but I will go I'm just going to go with my gut. I'm going to go USA, Sweden are my final two teams. I just, for whatever reason, Canada has been faltering in the international level the last few years. And I just think it's going to continue. I don't want it to. I want it to be USA, Canada, but I think it'll be Sweden, USA are my final two teams. What about you?
Yeah, a little bit of a stick in my neck out here, but I'm going to go Team USA over Finland in the final. I think the Finnish are going to surprise people. I think you're going to see a different game played by them than some of the other teams, but it's going to work. And you're going to look back and think, yeah, we probably should have saw this coming. They do it all the time. Whether it's juniors or these other international tournaments, people overlook them and they almost always surprise you. So I still like Team USA in the end, and we'll still get to see, regardless, a Team USA versus Canada game, which will be a lot of fun. But I like USA over Finland in the finals.
Ooh, you're taking USA. I'll take USA over Sweden in the finals. I just think they look good. You know what I mean? They just look really good. But it wouldn't surprise me if Canada's ran the table and waxed everybody and went 4-0. That's the kind of team that they have. But I don't know. I don't trust them. You know, based on the World Juniors, I'm having a hard time trusting old Canada. All right, let's do some quick hits, Tim, and get out of here. My old buddy, the man who cost me, how many thousands of dollars did this guy cost me? Just imagine if you're a listener. There is someone out there on this earth, and there's two people in particular who have cost me a lot of money. There is Tim Jackman, and then Louis Erickson. Both of those guys combined have cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I was going to make a joke. Oh, 10%. So what? $2,500.
Tim, I was playing in the NHL. I was making 800 grand. And these guys, like, I think on Louis, I took 7 games. And then on Tim Jackman, I think I took 7 total combined from the two. And repeat offender, this and that. It was just probably a good 200 grand. These jerk bags cost. I could use that. I tell you what, I'm just like hemorrhaging money these days. But anyways, Louis Erickson has officially retired from the NHL. Good career. Played in over 1,000 games, 16 seasons. I didn't know he had retired. So that was news to me that he was still kicking around. He was probably collecting a paycheck. You know what it is? And this is what hockey players are smart at. You get the insurance a certain amount of time, and then once you retire, they cut you off of the insurance. So they give you like a couple months after the season starts to try to figure it out, then they just cut you off. So maybe that's what he was doing, is riding the insurance. But he retired. One of the better Swedes ever to come over. Good for him.
Yeah, he hasn't played in since 2023 with Frölunda for the last couple of seasons. So yeah, huh. Hadn't been in the NHL in several years. And I like this that it popped up, because you know, we talk about how you changed his career and ended his career, and here he is just retiring now, after 16 seasons and another 10 years after your incident with him. So it's kind of funny.
Listen, it's a good lesson to the kids. When you dump the puck in, you don't admire it. You got to keep your head up on a swivel. You can't just sit there and like, oh, what a great dump. You're going to get buried. My hit, I will go to the grave knowing it was a clean hit. It was 100% hockey play. And this guy just, he learned the hard way. You have to protect yourself at all times, especially when there's just a unit, myself, out there, just a predator. And he learned the hard way then.
What are you even doing on the ice against Boston's top line? That's the question.
Hey, I'm not the coach. Don't put me out there. You think I ever said that? I'm like, hell yeah, let's get out there. Let's try to change the game, baby. That was a nationally televised game too. That was the start of the end for me, because that's when everybody just really hated me. It was just bad news. Tim, I would go to Boston and people would spit on in the streets. Like, it was just, I was public enemy number one, which was sad because I love Boston. Absolutely loved it. I couldn't go out to eat when we'd go there. It was a really sad time. Really, really sad time. But I got over it.
The next thing here, congrats to BU. Boston University won the Beanpot last night. Upset number one, BC. BU was ranked number 9, I believe. So it's a huge upset against a team that's just stacked with first rounders. But BU's got their own too. Cole Eisenman had a sick goal, and then you had Cole Hudson of BU, the MVP of a tournament. He had 3 goals, 2 assists. He was drafted by the Capitals in the second round, the top of the second round last year. So congrats to BU, heck of a game. And tough to see BC lose, though. That's my team.
Lane's brother.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Lots of brothers pairings in the USA. Isn't that interesting?
I like it. Yeah.
I like it.
Of course you do, Tim. Yeah, God.
I like it.
last thing here. The rumors are heating up. I like it. Brad Marchand's name is coming up. And this is one of those things where technically it's teams calling about him, not the Bruins offering him up, but people go and run these. They run with it, right? But where there's smoke, there's fire. A lot of teams are calling the Bruins about Brad Marchand. The Bruins are right now very much in the chase, but a couple spots out from the wild card right now. So the next few weeks will determine what they're going to do. And I think if they're out of it, I'm on board. I'm on board with moving them. And I don't, before you start, I don't expect a big return. I think it's more about opening up the roster, opening up the cap space and moving on organizationally, even though I love Brad Marchand to death.
Well, I think that's the key, is moving on organizationally. And I think the Bruins will make the right choice and get rid of him. But he's your captain. He's such a huge part of that group, and he ties you to the history of it. And so once you do let him go, that's it. Like, you're moving on. You're not locked into a rebuild by any means, because he's dropped off his plate substantially. He's definitely looking his age, but I don't know. Do you really? And that's the question. Do you think they have the guts to let him go? Where they're at in the standings, they will not make the playoffs. Do you think they have the guts to let him walk and watch him go somewhere else? I don't know.
I think my heart says no, they don't have the guts to do that. I think because of the captain, he's been there for 15, 16 years. He's earned the right to have a say. Doesn't mean that he's not Sidney Crosby level where he doesn't get moved unless he says yes, but he's earned the right to have to be part of the conversation. And if he wants to be there, they're most likely going to keep him there. So yeah, I don't think, but you want to see these guys at the end of their careers play for something. You want to see Crosby play for something. You want to see the other guys just get moved to a contender where they have a chance to play one more time for the ring. So yeah, I'd like to see him do that. I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's got an 8-team no movement clause, so there's definitely options. If you're him, though, do you want to go somewhere else? Like, do you want to see if the grass is greener? I don't know.
Well, that's what makes the timing of this tournament so interesting, because you're going to see some, backdoor just conversations and recruiting. And hey, listen, and they're unofficially, right? It didn't come from me, but the coach and the GM told me to tell you. So I wonder how much of that will happen, and we'll never know, of course, but it's not zero. I'll tell you that.
Well, I will say that John Cooper is the coach, and that guy has, and Julien Brisebois, they make deals. And so they're taking full advantage of having access to these guys, because I was just thinking Mitch Marner next year, the Tampa, they have zero cap space, none whatsoever, but John Cooper loves Mitch Marner. Absolutely loves him. It would not surprise me if he's in his ear being like, hey, man, imagine playing with Kucherov. It'd be pretty fun. Like, that'd be wild to have you two on the same line. That'd be super fun. He's a hard worker. Like, it just, the wheels are in motion. And especially now, if you're Cooper, you have the opportunity to see how Marchand gels, because he has, what, 3-4 Tampa guys on this team? To see how that works. To throw those guys on a line and see, does that fit? Because if Hagel, Cirelli, Point, put Marchand there, it would not surprise me to see that come to fruition later on down the road. But yeah, we'll see how it works out. Anything else, Tim?
That's it. I'm excited for the games to start tomorrow, and we'll be back later in the week.
All right, everybody. We appreciate the support. And then, just let me know. Do you think I should have watched the Super Bowl? Because I'm still thinking about it. You know what I mean? My wife. It's just marriage. 15 years, I still deal with this crap, Tim. Other than that, I appreciate everybody. Have some fun. We'll talk to you in a couple days. Cheers.
More
choice with Starbucks Rewards. Now that's grounds for celebration. Collect 10 stars for every £1 spent. Earn just 130 stars for a signature Americano on us. Or 300 for a bite to eat from our selection of bakery favourites. Save up and you can even score merchandise. More choices, faster rewards. Want in? Download the Starbucks UK app today. Subject to availability, participating stores only, 18 plus. Full terms and conditions at starbucks.co.uk/rewards.
Whether you're singing songs dressed as a traffic cone at the Ali Pali, roaring yourself hoarse on the first day of Cheltenham, or hugging a complete stranger after a 98th minute win. At Virgin Bet, we always want you to have a great time without ever losing track of your betting. So whilst there's no such thing as a dead cert, it's a good bet will help you keep it fun and safe. Visit our safer gambling hub for more info. Virgin Bet, a good bet. Bet responsibly. 18 plus, gamblerware.org.